everyone, you're listening to the Kirk Landry Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting right beside me is Rabbi Kirk Landry. And in this episode, we're discussing how does finance work spiritually? But before we jump into this one, Rabbi, how was yesterday? How was the weekend for you getting going?
Hey, it's going great. Listen, we're going to talk about probably one of my favorite subjects. We're going to talk about money and finance. And I've always been very open. I've had, you know, when I get with religious people, oh, you talk too much about money and you shouldn't. I don't like money. And I always just tell them, listen, if you don't like it, you can give it to me. I do like it. And you got to realize I'm a humanitarian aid person. So I've been doing humanitarian aid for 33 years. And it takes literally our ministry has been involved in, I think, close to like $30 million of humanitarian aid. Mm. So, I do like money. And I don't love money. The root of all evil is money. Money is neutral. It's just a tool. And the thing of it is, you're either going to align your life to have a good relationship with it. And, you know, the Apostle Paul said it this way, I've abound with little and I've abound with much. Well, that's my story. I have been completely broke. I'm talking having to borrow money from the parents and the neighbors for food and to having abundance. And so, anyway, I feel I'm not really an expert at a lot of things, but as far as releasing blessings through tithes and offering and biblical finance, I feel like the ministry, just because of the impact of the humanitarian aid, I feel like we have, I don't want to say expert, but we have experience and a testimony that proves that, you know, one of the things that being a goodwill ambassador to the nation of Israel, literally recognized as that, the biggest weapon I can do to battle anti-Semitism and boycotts and sanctions against Israel is by, the scripture says, by doing good, putting the foolish talk of foolish men to naught. And if you're going to do good, you have to do good with out of the abundance of your life. And so if you just have a life just to pay your bills, you really can't participate in the abundance. So I'm going to talk about two principles today that will help you have more abundance so that you can give. Listen, I love giving, and I'm honored that I get phone calls and from Israel, and they say, and Kenya and different places, and they ask for help, and we're able to say yes. And they cry on the phone, thank you so much, you're helping these orphans. You know, we just recently helped 500 orphans. You know, I was an orphan. That's how I started in my life. And the fact that I can have, it's money, you know. And I think people need to have a spiritual balance. You know, you can order, I did a workbook on it. You can order the workbook on releasing the blessings through tithes and offering, understanding biblical principles of finance. I would go through that workbook. I go through it every year just to kind of sharpen my pencil. But money used for good is a very good thing.
So let's break down those two principles. But, you know, the question I want you to kind of focus around, and I guess let's say this first. We have an excellent workbook, an excellent book on tithes and offerings that you've done a lot of preaching, a lot of biblical finance teaching on. You know, we've created the three-part series and incorporating a lot of it into the masterclass. You know, just kind of little sprinkles of this teaching and of this resource into the emotional healing a little bit. But we've done a lot of content and a lot of excellent content, I think, with a lot of resources with it. You know, for anyone listening that wants to purchase this workbook, you can obviously just find it on kirklandry.com. But we'll put the short link in the description in the show notes of this episode. But Rabbi, let's focus around this question And that is, how does finance work spiritually around those two points that you've got prepared for us?
Yeah. Okay. And I kind of want to drill down deep into this, because if I had two principles that I live by, I mean, it's just like, these are so deep rooted in my family, in my children. This is something, my spiritual children get this. And the first one is Matthew 6:33-34. And it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So you've got to have a mental, conscious and unconscious thought of what is first in God's kingdom. You have to mentally put it first. You have to, it's like when you knee jerk and something happens, you have to go into the kingdom, okay? But it says in his righteousness. So it's not enough just to seek the kingdom, but you have to seek, how do I live? Righteousness means I'm in proper alignment, I'm doing it God's way. Okay, so that right there is very important. But here's the guarantee. The guarantee in the covenant is, if you seek first the kingdom and you live rightly, all things will be added onto you. All things. So that's your rent, your mortgage, your doctor bill, your
anything and everything.
Food, everything. And then it says, if you'll just perfect in your mind a kingdom first mindset and understand the instruction of the Bible for righteousness, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Worry. So here's the thing is, if you lack of finance causes more divorce, more sickness, and more disease than probably anything else, because people don't have enough money. That's why I hate lack. I hate poverty. I lived in it. I was raised in a lower middle class family. I worked since I was, I had a Social Security number at 11. I worked 40 hours a week since I was 15 years old. So, I mean, I get it. But I can tell you, being at the place now where I order off the left side of the menu, not the right side, is much better than having to worry about the finance. So what the word says, if you'll have a kingdom mindset and live righteously, then you don't have to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing, sufficient for its day of trouble. So that's really a mindset. The whole reason I have done Goals to Grow, when I get on the line and I'm inspired from my home office and I go into the studio and film from there, these podcasts, if I could lay hands on you right now and just give you two things, I would say, a mindset to trust God and his kingdom and a hunger to be a student to live righteously. And I'm not talking about like weird holiness, like how you wear your hair or you dress. I'm talking about understanding biblical alignment.
So how often do you think people mistake in the true biblical alignment when it comes to finances? Because, the difference in tithes and offerings and people's lack of understanding the biblical significance of each one and when to do it. How often do you think people are just not aware or confused with what the Bible says on that?
Oh, I think it's rampant. I really do. Because everywhere I go, I see how they live. I listen to what comes out of their mouth and what they say. I can tell they're not walking in abundance of the surety of God's provision, because I can listen to what they say. Hmm. And being, quote, I've been labeled, I'm not really. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm actually a covenant teacher. And part of God's covenant is prosperity. But I'll be honest with you, I have been brutally attacked for my position on finance. And it's amazing how many of the people who brutally attack me at some point later on down the line, I'll get a very humbling call and they'll ask for money. And you know what? I help them.
Yeah.
I know the Lord gifted me to, before I was saved, I had the gift with finance. My family always said, you know, he's got the touch, whatever. And a lot of it is because my Uncle Lou that helped raise my godfather was a very wealthy man. And he put those basic principles into my behavior. A lot of it has to do that I understand if you don't have goals and you don't have plans, it's not going to happen. Okay. And the other thing is if your mind works by the hour, then what happens is then you'll always be concerned about the price. If your mind is focused on getting the thing accomplished and you're not working by the hour, then next thing you know, the price doesn't matter. So those are all like mindsets that I was raised with. But I was raised with an entrepreneurial influence, but it really is a biblical principle because if you'll seek first the kingdom, I mean, look at Solomon. He's the richest man that's ever lived on the earth and the most wise, and he was operating by those principles. That's why when I got saved, I decided, you know, I'm going to try to follow them. So when you get this book on tithes and offerings, the workbook that we wrote, it's basically 30 years of experience of like, I know that if you do this, it will work. And it's not because I wrote the book. All I did was capture the principles that work. But when people ask us, well, you know, how do you deliver $970,000 worth of goods during a war in 30 days? In war. I mean, you're in war. Everything is shut down. How does your organization go and get to wholesale places, get bulletproof vests, get helmets, get medical supplies, get food, all the stuff that we get. Plus, while you're doing that, not neglecting the orphans and the Holocaust survivors and taking care. How does that happen? It's because of these principles. And I came to people like Kurt Landry Ministries and House of David, and I said, we're at war, we need help. And my gosh, I mean, you guys have given over $1 million. So how does that work? The reason it works is because we sow the seed. We don't receive the $1 million and keep it. We get it and we move it out quickly. And with the war, it had to happen. You know, we had initially it was 250, but it went to 360,000 reservists that are there that don't have sheets, that don't have shaving kits, don't have pillows,
essentials.
They're CPAs, there's accountants, they're a cook, they're a plumber, they're an electrician. They get a phone call and they say, you know what, meet us down at Stutout, you know, and one day. They kiss their families, hug their babies, load up and go. They needed uniforms, they needed boots, they needed all that stuff. We got it all. And it's like, how did you do that? It's because we are already working with the wholesalers and we already have our own Amutah. But the biggest thing is like when they would call me and say, yes, listen, I didn't have the money, but I had the God. And I knew emotionally they're at war. Can you imagine if they called me and I said, no? It's like, no, that's not going to happen. So we said, yes. Then we went to you and we did a few broadcasts. It wasn't a huge thing. And you guys are the heroes. You did it. You did it. You gave. And the Lord's going to bless you for it because it's great. You know, we had to move quickly at mm-hmm. that time. And I believe it's seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And then what? All these things will be added onto you. And you know what? Everything in the ministry was added onto. The ministry has kept growing, and it was powerful.
That's good. Why do you think that you've been attacked and coin-labeled, whatever you want to call it, as a prosperity preacher?
I think they think I talk about it too much. I agree with them. I probably do talk about it too much. But to be honest with you, I don't choose my messages. I pray And I ask the Lord, and I preach what the Lord tells me to preach based off that inspiration. I told one of my pastors once, he says, "Well, Rabbi, you talk about it too much." And I said, "You know what? If you would start to walk in the biblical principles, maybe I wouldn't have to be reminding you so much." I literally said that to him. He's under my, you know, he's one of the ones I'm mentoring. And he was upset. And I said, "Well, if you would get it, I could move on to another subject. But look at the, yeah, who's helping you right now? I mean, you know, your church can't pay its bills. You're going to stuff because you're not doing what I'm teaching." And so I just told him, you know, in love, but it's like, yeah, I think what happens is people get jealous. They get agitated. Let me share with you a few principles on the back of my goals to grow that will kind of,
okay.
This might be a little bit of a segue. Then we'll go on to the next scripture, but these are just a few. Okay. And these are things that I've read. You know, I tell people, like, I think you should read an educational book, an audio book, or read a book at least once a month. So these are just kind of some things that I've collected over the years. And
hey, let's do this real quick. KurtLandry.com/goals2024. You can get your free download for Goals to Grow. Okay.
Okay. So, Daryl, these aren't mine. These are things I've read, and these are notes I put on the back. And I actually pray these out loud 5 days a week.
Is that coffee on the back?
Yes. Yeah, I spilled. Okay, there's coffee. Chrissy knows where I go because she can just go in the house and watch the little drips everywhere. So anyway, when you're winning, keep your mouth shut.
That's good.
Okay?
That's hard to do, isn't it?
Not for me, no, because I always said, like, I have a friend of mine, we're in a ministry project together, and he just had a multi-million dollar increase on his thing, and I said to him, and we prayed it in together, and so we're $5 million increase, and so I prayed it in, so I told him, I said, "Now, you know, keep your mouth shut." He said, "Yes." He said, "Yes, sir," is how he talks to me, and I said, "Okay." So I said, "You and I will just, listen, it's not my money. It's his ministry's money." But I told him, I said, "Remember, don't tell anyone. Keep your mouth shut and have the stupid smile. When people ask you how you're doing, just say fine, but you have the stupid smile." And I said, "But don't tell them because people aren't going to be happy." Okay. And here's another one for pastors and for all of you. Don't expect to get what you give. Whatever you give to people, don't like measure it off. "Well, I sowed to them. Aren't you supposed to reap what you sow?" Listen, you're going to get, if you're really successful, you're always going to give more to them, okay, than you're going to get back. So just forget that. Just give. And if you never get anything back, you know what? Just praise God. I always go back to when Christy and I had nothing. We went broke after going in ministry. And then I went to the Lord. I said, "Listen, I'm working really hard." He says, "Until you teach people to do it, you're taking it, you're bringing a corporate thing in here. Teach my ways." And that's when I shifted. That's where this book came from. Okay. Here's another one. Don't tell people your plans, because then you're going to get on.
Yeah, that might be the best one so far. I mean, like, that one is like a lot of spiritual truth from, you know, I mean, like, one thing that we talk about just over the phone randomly is, you know, don't give an angle to the enemy to come in and attack it.
Right. Wait till you get, you know, like, if you look at my social media, all the pictures, if I do show, and I don't show most of my private stuff because I want to have a life. But here's the thing is, it's like the Israel stuff. Most of it I show afterwards. And the reason is, well, I do it, my security tells me to do it because I don't want people knowing where I'm at. But the thing is, I don't want the talk in the atmosphere of I don't need people coming, like, most of the stuff I do, if I told everybody, I'd have people say, "Well, Rabbi, listen, I was praying for you. And that's just too much risk, or that can't happen." Or I don't need to hear that. Anyway. That's it. Do you want to hear some more of these?
Yeah. Let's do like two more, and then we can save these for later.
Okay. Let me see. Here's one for you. The devil would not be attacking you so hard if you didn't have something valuable inside of you. A thief doesn't break into an empty house. So if you're being attacked right now, it's because, you know what? You got the goods.
You're doing something right.
You're doing something right. And I can tell you, from just business experience and personal, where you get attacked the most is when you're getting promoted, getting ready to do something big, or you just did something great, and then it's like payback. So that's when you have to be on guard at the birth and then at the victory party. That's when Satan comes. And here's the last one. Maybe you are holding on to exactly what you need to let go of to move forward.
Man, I mean, like all of those are just nuggets.
Yeah, we can go on. We can get through some more later. Let's move on to the second yeah. principle.
Okay.
Because if you asked me, like, okay, you're gonna go to Wall Street, New York, and you're gonna speak at the UN, you're gonna speak at the Knesset, you're gonna do whatever. The Minister of Finance in Israel called, and he's gonna ask you like a question. What I'm gonna share is what I would share at any one of those venues. I'm not saying anybody would be interested in having me speak there, but I'm trying to make a dramatic emphasis here. This is what I would say. I would say, remember who gives you the power. Remember, you have to remember. And here's the scripture from Deuteronomy 8:18 through 20. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So he gives you wealth to create a testimony that when you choose to follow God and his ways, he prospers you as a testimony. And what happens is when you are counterproductive to the prosperity of God, then what happens is you are actually disallowing God from establishing his covenant in and through you. So these people that come against you for the prosperity, they don't really understand. They're actually coming against God's covenant. And I want to be flowing with it. Now, here's the warning. Then it shall be, if by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, such as man's opinion, fear, doubt, unbelief, pride, arrogance, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So, Daryl, you've worked here for a couple of years now. Nathan's over there behind the switcher, and he's been here about a year, and we've got new people. And so when you see Rabbi do some of the stuff that I do, and I'm not saying you say this, but man, what's he doing? Why is he doing that or this? It's because I sincerely believe, and I get confirmation from other prophets and leaders, that I'm supposed to do it. But the reason I do it, now it goes back to the last podcast in heaven. If I do what the God says and it even doesn't prosper on earth, I will have rewards in heaven. So that's where my mind goes. So to really simplify this, if I believe God's done it, I will put all my might and do my work onto my hands to answer the call because of this scripture. Because I do not want to hear from the Lord and the Lord saying, Curtis, did you not read where it says, then it shall be if by any means you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods such as your own good ideas, your friends' good ideas, what you saw on some counseling thing and serve them in worship. So I may not sit down and sing songs to them, but what happens is I speak the fear and doubt. Well, you know, if I start going down the yeah, but trail, then I'm serving other gods. And I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So to me, The biggest key is you've got to obey God. And I will close with this, these nuggets here. You may make people angry when you start following the goals to grow. Because when you fill out your goals to grow, God's going to ask you to do some things that are beyond yourself so he can supernaturally intervene and get the glory. And there'll be other people who are not of the same faith or have the same vision. Most of all, don't believe God could use you. And what happens is it may make them angry. And when you get super serious about following your life goals, you may start losing some friends. Because, you know, I've watched this in our own life. You'll have friends at one level of social economic relationship, and then some at another level. And then you'll have some at another level. As you increase in finance, and then you increase in what you can do, and not everybody can travel with you. So it's one of the sufferings of financially prospering in the Lord is you're probably going to lose some friends. And you need to understand this. Finance doesn't make life easier. It just makes you stronger and wiser. Mm-hmm. And I would say with my book and tithes and offerings, my goal is that you can get more done with less. Doesn't mean you work less. You just work smarter and then you'll have more so that you can be a better influencer for the kingdom of God, so that you can be a part of doing good, putting the foolish talk to foolish men to naught. I can share this with you. There's nothing better than to be able to give and be part of the solution, particularly when you're helping those who have absolutely no ability to help themselves. I think the greatest measure of a man's heart, and you were with me when we were interviewing General Doron Omog, and he told me this. He said, and we'll close with this. He went to Harvard. He's a general. He was at the raid to Entebbe, co-commander with Bibi Netanyahu's brother, Yoni. Yoni actually died in his arms. He's a very smart, decorated war hero. And you were there when we were in his office, where Israel began, where the very first government with David Ben-Gurion, we're in that building. It's his office is there. And he said these words to me. He said, my greatest counselor couldn't speak. And he said, my greatest counselor taught me the greatest lesson. He said, it was my handicapped son that died at 16. And what he taught me was this, is that the measure of the greatness of a man is his ability to take care of those who have absolutely no ability to take care of themselves and no ability to pay you back. That is a great man. And man, when he said that, I said to myself, I want to be that great man. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he has started 2 handicapped hospitals for special needs kids in Israel, one in Beersheba and one in Jerusalem. And then my biggest honor that day, if you'll remember, Sam said to Doron, he said, have you ever met the Christian who helps you with the hospital in Jerusalem? He said, no, I've never met him. And he said, well, now you've met him.
You're talking to him right now?
You're talking to him right now. And remember, we grabbed hands.
Mm-hmm.
That was my greatest honor. So if you want the key to biblical finance, you have to have a heart to help those who can't help themselves and have no ability to pay you back. That's biblical wealth.
Well, if you've made it to the deep end of this episode, we just encourage you, if you loved it and you love all the other episodes, you're enjoying it, you're getting value out of the Kurt Landry podcast, we would sure appreciate if you would leave a review, rank the podcast, hopefully 5 stars on whatever podcast app that you listen to, Spotify, Apple, RSS. Again, you can send us questions to podcast@kurtlandry.com. That's our email inbox. All right, Rabbi, 30 seconds, lasting thoughts for the listeners, and then we'll get out of here.
Well, it's got to be, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto thee. I can tell you this, please, please, please give God a chance to intervene in your deepest fears, doubts, sorrows, and pains, and he will not fail you. For our God is not a man that he should lie. And God is love, and every good and perfect gift comes from above. So don't ever forget that. He loves you. He created you. And don't ever forget this, that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his best. Every drop of blood, every pain that he ever suffered was for you to be able to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's my prayer for you in Yeshua's name.
All right, that'll wrap it up for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. Rabbi, until next time.
Shalom. It's a new year and a new you. Have you ever wondered how to stay consistent with growing spiritually, but also winning and achieving your goals you have for yourself this year? Get your free download of My Goals to Grow by visiting kurtlandry.com/grow2024. That's kurtlandry.com/grow2024. I'll help answer questions like, where do I start? How do I walk in the Spirit? Or how do I do spiritual warfare? Or how do I believe that I'm more than a conqueror? Understanding that Matthew 6:33 positions us for success in this year ahead. That seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in his covenant. Know this, that if you can establish his covenant in your heart and in your mind, you will be successful this coming year. So get your free download for Goals to Grow 2024 by visiting kurtlandry.com/grow2024 or visit the show notes in this episode. There are some projects that really touch your heart, and this is interesting because our son-in-law, Paul Marcelino, his dad, Yochanan Marcelino, helped to produce this book. And the whole purpose of this book, Jerusalem Rising, is to be able to bring visual evidence that Jerusalem and Israel actually belongs to the children of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That this is the land of Isaac. And the miracle power, you know, they say that a picture's worth a thousand words. And this book captures that. So listen, I'm really blessed for a limited time. And while supplies last, you can get a 30% discount by entering the promo code of RISING. And so what you need to do is go to kurtlandry.com/rising, and you can be able to claim your discounted copy of Jerusalem Rising. So that's kurtlandry.com/rising. Get a 30% discount now while supplies last.
Hey, one more thing. After this episode, I would love for you to go and download and listen to another podcast on the One New Man Network, and that's called Generations at the Table with Megan Marcelino. This show is perfect for discovering how to grow your family in faith by knowing your Jewish roots. Megan breaks down all of her knowledge on how to unlock your family's kingdom destiny by honoring Yeshua. You can find her show on the One New Man Network on your favorite podcast app.